Tom, Donnie is practicing taqiya.
1,000%. 1,000%.
He's presenting.
The Muslims are laughing at you guys. Like, this is the funniest thing. Like, dude, give it 50 more years. Entire New York's gonna be Muslim. And then before you know it, there's gonna be Sharia courts. And then, like, y'all are. It's like shooting yourself in the foot.
And I'll also say that it's Muslim money. The PACs that have supported Zahran, or a particular PAC that has supported Zahran, is probably over 80% of Muslim American donors in this country.
81%, so 81 of the mosques that he surveilled were in some way or other preaching jihadism and hatred of non-Muslims. And this is in the United States.
The 2011 study, Sharia and Violence in American Mosques, published in the Middle East Quarterly, surveyed 100 U.S. mosques selected proportionally by state Muslim population between 2007 and 2010, and found that 81% contained texts advocating or justifying violence in the name of Sharia or jihad. 51% calling for overthrowing non-Islamic governments, with 84.5% of imams recommending these materials during services. Counter studies claim U.S. mosques largely deter extremism and reject violence, rendering the 81% figure a provocative but unreliable indicator of widespread jihadism. Whatever the case may be, these studies need to be immediately replicated in the name of U.S. national security, because America has a history with Islamic extremism going back to its founding. Thomas Jefferson's 1786 meeting with Tripoli's ambassador revealed the Quranic justification for enslaving non-Muslims and seizing their ships, prompting his rejection of tribute payments that had consumed nearly 20% of U.S. federal revenue since 1784. As president in 1801, Jefferson responded to Tripoli's declaration of war with naval blockades and the First Barbary War from 1801 to 1805, ending in a treaty that freed American captives and halted tribute. This conflict solidified the U.S. opinion that Islamic law was incompatible with Republican government, which later influenced subsequent restrictions. From 1790, the Naturalization Act excluded most Muslims, while late 19th century rulings like Ex parte Marias, 1894, denied naturalization on religious grounds. The McCarran-Walter Act of 1952 retained ideological bars against those advocating government overthrow or tied to totalitarian ideologies, effectively restricting certain Muslim activists. Enter the Legion of Treason. In 1990, Congress repealed Title II's ideological exclusions via Moynihan Amendment, passing the Senate and signed by President George H.W. Bush, easing short-term visa restrictions but maintaining permanent residency screening. Years later, during the Obama administration, America did a 180, authorizing engagement with nonviolent Islamists like the Muslim Brotherhood. After the Arab Spring, the U.S. cut funding for Egypt's democracy programs but kept giving $1.5 billion a year in military aid. When Morsi was removed in 2013, the U.S. briefly paused the aid, then started it all back up again. After rebels led by former al-Qaeda commander Ahmed al-Sharaa, a.k.a. Abu Muhammad al-Jilani, toppled Assad in December of 2024, the U.S. quickly embraced the change. Biden lifted al-Sharaa's $10 million bounty. The U.S. is now engaging Syria's new leader at the U.N. and with top officials, betting on his promises of elections and stability to counter Iran and ISIS, despite his jihadist past. And despite the overall goal of Islam clearly on the jihadist warpath of global conquest.
We take the jizya from the non-Muslims, the combatants, the enemies of Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're taking in exchange for your blood, for your life. Do you understand? We're taking it in exchange for your blood, for your life.
It is time for us to stop calling Islam a religion. It is a civilization that governs every aspect of your life. And most importantly for us in the U.S., it is a civilization that is duty-bound according to the Quran.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. It's a little bit of a darker day for us over here, specifically me, though, of course. Last night's election results were expected. We prepared you for it, but I don't think even if we prepared you more for it, you would have actually been mentally ready for what you saw unravel yesterday. It's a communist Islamic takeover happening in our country, and we're watching it play out before our very own eyes. That's the big discussion that we're going to be having today. I look forward to diving into that topic in just a moment. But before we do that, I wanted to make sure that we bring you an update in regards to that plane crash that you saw yesterday in Kentucky. I want to play you the exact details as to what happened. As many of you guys may have seen yesterday, there was that crash. It was a UPS plane that did crash, sadly, just moments it appeared to be after taking off. Here are some of those details that they brought to us yesterday. Take a listen.
Bro, get the away from here. Like, turn around. Bro, no, hold on. I think it's gonna crash, bro. Holy
and that's obviously dead, absolutely devastating. Now, we know originally the numbers were there were three confirmed deaths, but it's since the governor spoke afterwards, we found out there were actually seven. But the governor did speak to the public and he outlined what he knew at the time. Take a listen.
Approximately 5:14 p.m. Eastern time tonight, UPS flight 2976 from Louisville, Kentucky to Honolulu, Hawaii, an MD-11 with three crew members on board was involved in a catastrophic crash here in Louisville adjacent to our airport. UPS will be releasing more facts as available. The National Transportation Safety Board will be in charge of the investigation and will be on the scene shortly. They will be the primary source of the investigation as it continues in the days and in the weeks ahead. I can confirm that there was no specifically hazardous cargo on board of the plane that would create an environmental issue for those around the site, but the impact and where it impacted could create those types of situations. So please, if there is a shelter in place, follow it. At this time, we've got some initial numbers, but let me tell you, I expect them to grow. Right now, we believe we have at least three fatalities. Oh, I believe that number is going to get larger. We have at least 11 injuries, some of them very significant, that are being treated by local hospitals. Again, I think that number will get larger. There is a victim family reunification center being set up at the Louisville Metro Police Training Academy. That is 2911 Taylor Boulevard. Victim services personnel will be on site and on location for anyone who needs information. The United Way is also offering shelter to anybody that's been impacted. You can call them at 502.
All right, let's step in on this. So ultimately, the overview of all of this is that it was a UPS cargo plane that crashed, exploded, causing that massive fireball that you saw on your screen. Now, this took place while they were taking off. Keep in mind, folks, that the Louisville, Kentucky facility is actually the global aviation hub for UPS. So keep that in mind. Now, again, we do know that there are seven confirmed deaths, 11 confirmed injuries thus far.
The number is still expected to grow, and this happened late yesterday afternoon around 5:15 p.m. Eastern time. We'll continue to follow the story as it develops, of course, to figure out what exactly happened here. According to those sources who have spoken, they do believe, obviously, that this is a mechanical-related issue and that there might have been a problem with the plane before takeoff. But we will continue to follow the story as it develops and as the details begin to pour out. I wanted to focus, though, on what we saw take place yesterday. Obviously, folks, this was not the ideal election day. We knew it wasn't going to be a massive win for Republicans because the elections were taking place in heavy blue districts. But ultimately, folks, what we saw unravel yesterday was devastating, because the reality of it is there are places still like Virginia, which had Glenn Youngkin, who was a Republican, flip the seat, obviously, for governorship I'm referring to. And we just saw it flip back to Dems. So that was a little discouraging. But most importantly, Democrats are taking a victory lap. Now, obviously, if you're wondering why that is, they were the ones to cause this government shutdown. Now, of course, that played into their advantage because they lied to the American people and said that it was Donald Trump who caused the shutdown, which obviously created a motivation for voters to go out and vote. It created the fire that they needed to go out and vote. And that's exactly what played out yesterday all across this country. Now, what we saw specifically unravel is three candidates who the DNC chairman says are three similar candidates, even referring to Zohran Mamdani as one of those candidates who they can compare all of these three to. Now, Zohran Mamdani is obviously a communist. He's a radical Islamist. I don't even think you'd put radical in front of that. He is an Islamist. And the reality of it is yesterday was absolutely devastating to watch. But listen to how the DNC chairman describes the victories in clip three. Take a listen.
I want to focus on the similarities, because there is a through line right now between Zohran Mamdani, Abigail Spanberger, and Mikey Sherrill as examples. They're all focused on affordability. They're all focused on building a better life for families in this country who are struggling right now. And so there is a through line.
Folks, there is a through line. You heard it there. Zohran Mamdani is a communist, and the rest of these Democrats that continue to run for office are just that as well. But they hide it a little bit better. Now, of course, we've told you, and I'm going to keep telling you, back in 2014, there was a plan to put Zohran Mamdani in this New York City race before he was even a U.S. citizen. And if you're wondering why, it's because there are people out there that hate this country. They despise this country. They hate our values in the West. And they are looking to take over. I don't know how many times we need to talk about that. But so many people fear it because they're afraid of being called an Islamist. And that's the reality behind it. And that is exactly what they are afraid of. But if you don't fear the name calling, you have no problem confronting the real issue here. America is about to be taken over. We are seeing it all across the election spectrum these days. Okay. I want to talk, though, about President Trump's reaction a bit before we dive into the New York City race. President Trump posting this on Truth Social yesterday after the results started pouring in, saying Trump wasn't on the ballot and the shutdown were the two reasons that Republicans lost elections tonight. That's according to pollsters. He's quoting those pollsters, obviously. And in another post, he said, "So it begins." And if you're wondering what he means by "so it begins," the communist takeover, he is now battling it out with a communist, a real communist in New York City. It's not fear-mongering. This is a communist. This is a communist. This is a communist takeover, and we are sitting back and we are forced to sit back and try to just watch, I guess, at this point. Folks, Zohran Mamdani gave a victory speech yesterday, and during that victory speech, he was infuriated after winning the election. Now, if you're wondering why, he started off very calmly speaking, and then he went off into a massive, massive rant. Take a listen to clip four and how pretty much, I mean, this guy just sounds like a communist regime taking over one of our biggest cities in this country. Take a listen.
If anyone can show a nation betrayed by Donald Trump how to defeat him, it is the city that gave rise to him. And if there is any way to terrify a despot, it is by dismantling the very conditions that allowed him to accumulate power. This is not only how we stop Trump, it's how we stop the next one. So, Donald Trump, since I know you're watching, I have four words for you. Turn the volume up. We will hold bad landlords to account because the Donald Trumps of our city have grown far too comfortable taking advantage of their tenants. We will put an end to the culture of corruption that has allowed billionaires like Trump to evade taxation and exploit tax breaks. We will stand alongside unions and expand labor protections because we know, just as Donald Trump does, that when working people have ironclad rights, the bosses who seek to extort them become very small indeed.
New York City flipped red yesterday, just the wrong kind of red, as you could see there. Zohran Mamdani is a communist. There's no other way to put it. He hates this country. That's the reason why he came to this country, to destroy this country. You don't immigrate to the United States as quickly as he did and run for office as quickly as he did if you weren't trying to actively destroy this country. We've played it for you time and time again. We'll do so later during the show. In 2014, his own campaign said that the commitment was to run Mamdani for mayor. We know this. He said it in his own words. He just didn't know he was being recorded when he said so. Keep in mind, Zohran Mamdani wasn't even a U.S. citizen back in 2014. He didn't become a U.S. citizen until 2018. And then he ran for state assembly. The guy's never had a job. He is a piece of garbage. A piece of garbage. He hangs around with jihadists. Therefore, he is a jihadist just like them. He is someone who has spent the bulk of his time going to mosque. About 80% of those mosques have preached for violence against non-believers. Folks, we're not dealing with a peaceful religion. Just crack open the Quran, read it for yourself. There's over 100 verses in the Quran that preach against or preach for violence against those who are non-believers. I don't know how many more times you have to say this. You are not Islamophobic, although you should fear Islam. Don't let the name calling scare you. Don't back down. These people hate us. They are trying to conquer the West and they are winning. They conquered London. They just took one of the biggest cities in this country, New York City. They are laughing at us. Our enemies are laughing at us as they continue to let individuals like Zohran Mamdani and others take over. Keep in mind, folks, keep in mind, we just saw the first, what was it, the first Lieutenant Virginia governor get elected who's Muslim. Folks, there's a pattern here. Why is it that people that hate this country are making their way into our country, running for office, and then destroying us with horrific policies that would never even survive their own country because their own countries are hellholes? How dare people migrate to our country, tell us what we have to do when they come from failed countries, failed governments? They've never been able to come together and create any successful government themselves. Their people have historically failed their own. We welcome them into this country because we want to give them an opportunity to succeed, but the reality is they hate us. They hate us. Name one liberal city that there's a population of individuals who are happy to be there. Most of them are hooked on antidepressants. And there's a reason for that. Liberal cities are hellholes. Imagine what it's going to be like now for a communist city. Well, you're about to see it all play out before your very own eyes. And there's zero accountability. Here is zero. Alvin Bragg yesterday also won his election as well. Alvin Bragg is the Manhattan district attorney who has literally declined to file charges against those who are victims of crime and instead has gone after those who have defended themselves. He also went after President Trump, in case you didn't remember that either. Now, he is another one who is a communist, obviously, but folks, he is an American. Zohran Mamdani's not. You could tell me, oh, he's became a citizen in 2018. He's not an American. His mom even said that he's not an American. He hates this country. He's always hated this country. And right now we're dealing with a takeover. And so many people didn't have the guts to call it out months ago. They are now here pushing this. But guess what? It's too late. Because people fear being called a mean name and they don't want to speak the truth. The reality is people like myself have been talking about this for a very long time now. People like Amy Mack and others, Laura Loomer, another one. Lara Logan, another one, have been warning you guys about what's going on and trying to open up everyone's eyes to this. But sadly, so many were too afraid to talk about it because you didn't want to be called a mean name. There is a very limited amount of people who did discuss this. Now, all of a sudden, it's going mainstream a bit. And so those really don't fear talking about it now. But keep in mind, folks, Zohran Mamdani is now going to have access to the NYPD counterterrorism database. that doesn't scare the hell out of you, I don't know what else will. Now, obviously, we need a federal intervention, but again, will President Trump do that? You see, the reality is it looks like on paper he won this election. I'm sure if we were to sift through the actual voters, we might find some very interesting things. If you saw James O'Keefe's latest report, he actually was able to put someone in one of these election, I forgot what the guy's office was, but he went there to register this guy to vote and to get him to vote. And this guy specifically told this individual that I am not a U.S. citizen. I just got here. And they said they didn't care anyway. Here you go. Go over there. Vote. I wonder how many of those actually happened. I wonder how many of those actually were able to go and cast their ballot in this election. Again, people that hate this country have infiltrated this country. Alex Soros even posting this tweet yesterday celebrating Zohra Mamdani's so-called victory. Another communist prick who hates this country. It's enraging, it's infuriating, but this is what's going on right now. Now, if you're looking to see who's to blame here, I've got several people we could outline. Number one, the New York Republican Party itself is a conglomerate of failures. They have a history of losing, have no fight in them, and all they do is put fossils up there to run their organizations. And the reality is they were too focused on a group chat amongst young Republicans that they let another one slip through the cracks. Curtis Sliwa, well, there's only so much beating up I could do on this guy, but the reality of it is Curtis won, even though he's an absolute embarrassment. Take a look at this. The guy wore a cat tie yesterday to go out and vote. He also had a cat book in his hand. Feline lovers. What the heck is wrong with these people? This is someone you run as a Republican? And the level of privilege that Curtis had when he was asked if he would accept a President Trump endorsement. Yeah, if he wants, he can endorse me. Curtis Sliwa is a loser. He lives in a cat-infested apartment. He still thinks we're in the 90s. He hasn't given up his costume yet. And although I could beat up on him because it's an easy target, the reality of it is the guy wasn't even able to garner at least 10% of the votes yesterday, folks. I know a lot of you were fired up because I was the one saying that he shouldn't be in the race anymore, but he couldn't even pull in 10%. Oh, great. It's the Catman episode of Cribs. Folks, I love my dogs, but gosh, this is horrific. This is absolutely horrific. And this guy isn't even healthy, too. You know, we didn't want to highlight that because I don't like to poke fun, but the reality is he's not in great shape. He's just not. If you've met him in person, you understand that. So many people stayed silent on that issue as well. That's what he became so unhinged in a lot of these interviews when he was just grilled on the basics. The numbers never backed him in the first place. Yeah, of course, he won the primary. But is that really the best candidate as a Republican Party you have to put forward? Maybe find someone more relatable than Catman. But it's not just that. It's the loser Republicans in the state of New York who are now going to use this to try to push their way through another victory. People like Mike Lawler, an absolute loser. Rhino, I know President Trump endorsed him and says he's MAGA, but he's not MAGA. The guy's a scumbag. He's a loser. So what is he doing now? Well, of course, the congressman is now going to use this as a way to push Republican candidates who are too weak to run on strong policies in office. The reality is Republicans in New York don't run on policies that actually help New Yorkers. Instead, they say, well, are you tired of living like this? Vote for us. Maybe we'll change things for you. And we've watched over a decade now, and it's changed absolutely nothing. Take a listen to clip 5 and how Mike Lawler continues to highlight the fact that he's an absolute loser.
New York City, you have a city that is 7-1 Democratic,
right?
And you have an avowed socialist now taking the helm of the Democratic Party. He will become the face of the Democrats nationwide, him, AOC, and Bernie Sanders. It's precisely why Chuck Schumer ran away from, putting an endorsement out. Hakeem Jeffries had to come kicking and screaming, and Kathy Hochul went on bended knee. They are betwixt and between, and they don't know what to do. But Zohra Mamdani is going to be the face of the Democratic Party in the midterm.
He was like literally drooling when just saying those things. He loves the idea of Zohra Mamdani being the face of the party because they could all run on that. Not on strong policies that help reduce the cost of living for young New Yorkers who are struggling to get by. Folks, that was me. When I lived in New York, I was working 2 jobs, working 7 days a week, and was busting my butt trying to make a living. I had 0 in savings, and I understand why so many young people who live in New York were trying to get their way in whatever field they're working in, just trying to get a foot in the door, how desperate they are for anyone who could talk to them and tell them about that they care about affordability. I mean, the reality of it is Zohran Mamdani was the only one who was actually addressing those concerns. Do I believe that over a million communists live in the state of New York, in the city of New York? No, absolutely not. But guess what? I think a lot of desperate young people looking for any ounce of hope turn to that guy because he's the only one talking about how to make New York more affordable. Yes, it's not realistic. Yes, it's a bunch of lies. And yes, it's stupidity if you understand how the economy works. But the reality is he's the only one talking about it. You could sit there and turn to these people who are likely working 6 to 7 days a week to survive and say, well, just work a little harder. Suck it up. But if someone steps in and says, I've got an easy way out for you, a lot of young people are going to take it. A lot of people in this country are depressed because they are working jobs that they do not like. They were forced to go to college by these individuals, these guidance counselors, and so many told them, oh, go to college, you'll make all this money. They took out loans that they couldn't ever afford to pay off, and now they are a slave to the system. That is a reality. Whether you want to believe it or not, young people are faced with that reality. 20s and 30s, most Americans really cannot afford to buy a home right now, especially if you live in the state of New York. And yes, I get it. Democratic policies led us there. But again, you're not winning over any voters when you continue to just make that the talking point, when you continue to go to the table without any solutions to these issues. I don't think I ever heard Curtis Sliwa even mention the fact that we should be focused on these issues. So am I fired up on this front? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. New York was once my home. And although it was Long Island for a very long time, all the things that happened in Queens and Brooklyn bleed into Long Island. But now New York is gone. I cannot go back and visit. The NYPD will never be able to make an arrest again because of Zohran Mamdani. He will abandon them. You are continuously getting the worst of the worst to sign up for the NYPD. Now anyone who is a good person will likely resign. Will likely resign because why the heck would you put up with that? So New York City yesterday flipped red, just the wrong kind of red. They went straight up communist. So we're going to keep digging into that throughout the entire show. There's other elections, though, that we should be focused on. I look forward to diving in as well. Obviously, Virginia just electing their first female governor, it looks like, as well as their first lieutenant governor, who appears to be a Muslim woman. Breaking glass ceilings, the kind of glass ceilings that none of us actually want broken. We're not getting qualified candidates in these positions. We're just going with those who are the first female, the first Muslim woman. Yeah, that's exciting, isn't it? Not really, especially if you're a homeowner. All right, we got more to dig into. Of course, I've got more to sound off with in regards to elections, in regards to the lawfare that's being exposed that took place, obviously, under the Biden regime, and so much more. Don't go anywhere. For now, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because we have our 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales going on right now. It is 25% off site-wide on top of already those huge sales savings. So there's incredible items like Methylene Red that we just launched last week. That is on sale, 25% off today, of course. And when you sign up for auto ship, you're getting 50% off those supplements as well. Also, just to remind you folks, we launched it yesterday. I made the announcement yesterday on this show, 50% off any supplement. 50% off the supplements, but also we have the blades, the Alex Jones blades that are up right now on the site. Those are for sale. It's a limited time. We don't have those forever. You got to head on over right now to the shop and grab yourself some of these. It is incredible. The engraving on that is also really impressive, and it makes for a great gift. So head on over to the Alex Jones store now and get them before they sell out.
I'm funded by you. You want to know who funds this operation? You, the viewer, you, the listener. We got like a gold sponsor, and that's it. I could have a bunch of sponsors, but then I got to check it. I got to mess with it. And then they come after our sponsors. So about 14 years ago, I said, we're getting rid of sponsors, as a lot of you saw. And I'm like, we'll just sell the best supplements. We'll just sell the widest selection of stuff. And we're already selling DVDs and films and books and, you know, T-shirts and ball caps. But I said, you know what? We're going to do it ourselves. So we just go out and find whatever the top certified best-selling thing is, already proven, triple tested. We sell it in a private label. But we've also made a lot of great proprietary supplements as well. So you're missing out if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com that I don't own. So even if they shut down InfoWars, which is imminent, people are going to wake up and go, well, God, it really happened. Yeah, there's a receiver in there. He just hadn't decided to shut down yet. Close. They don't own thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the Alex Jones Network. It funds this operation and has the widest selection of T-shirts, hats, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, a lot of it limited edition. We have the classic 1776 gear, we have the Trump gear, we have the InfoWars gear, we have the Alex Jones gear, we have the comedy gear, we have a lot of, you know, fun shirts, Gulf of America shirts, we have InfoWars veteran shirts, veterans of the InfoWar. It's all there. Fundraiser shirts that cost a little bit more, so we actually get some funds in because these are high quality. The markup's not very high. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We've got our Holy Wars Crusader line. All very, very politically incorrect. Not all the America First stuff. It's all there. The widest selection. TheAlexJonesStore.com. There's 30 days. It started a few days ago. A Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales. 25% off site-wide on all top products, everything, including on top of the sales that are already there. All supplies last could end at any moment for specific items that sell out. Here's what's on sale now. Ultra Methylene Red, about to sell out. All supplements, the Ultra Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox, all shirts, hats, hoodies, plus 50% off any supplement when you sign up for auto ship. You cancel any time. Never run out. Hold it back for 50% off in the future, even when it sells out for everybody else. Cancel any time. Alex Jones signature blades are in now. Knives I went out and found and thought were the best and got at low prices. They'll sell out fast. Choose from a collection of incredible blades. All supplies last. VIP membership. Anybody buying anything should be a VIP member. Just at checkout, pay $30 and get $40 instantly spent in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. Get 40% credit in the store each month instantly. Number one way to support a broadcast. 80% reorder on our supplements. Nobody else has that. That's how good they work. We support you and fight for freedom together. You support us together. We are changing the world. Stock up now, TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you. We can't do without you. You are the tip of the spear, and I salute you all.
Methylene Red is the ultimate complement to Methylene Blue. It's like Batman and Robin, right? This is Robin. Okay, I just took this, and I only took three droppers full. And I feel like calm energy, if that makes sense. I feel like if I want to go think about something or go deep into something, I can do that right now. It's like a sour warhead, and it's like, oh my God. And then I'm like, oh wow, okay, I actually feel it. Same way you feel Methylene Blue, you feel this. So
look at this, look at it.
Here's your normal Methylene Blue, right? Look at Methylene Red. Dude, that's a freaking tank. If you're taking this, you really need this. It's like, you know how Big Pharma always tells you, hey, if you get, you know, this SSRI, you're gonna need this to go with it. Well, this is the natural, more natural way to do it. You got Methylene Blue and you got Methylene Red. These complement each other and you need both of them. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com today and get yours. And I think right now it's 50% off if you subscribe.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. All right, I had to take a second to cool down a bit. A lot going on all around the country, obviously. That's got me fired up these days. Texas Representative Brian Harris will be joining us at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. It's not the town. The time zones are really messing me up these days, and I was just fired up. I have to cool down a bit these days, but we'll have him joining us in just a little bit. But there's a lot to discuss in regards to the elections that took place yesterday, obviously, as many of you guys saw. Not ideal. Not ideal. We discussed briefly the Virginia race, obviously, and I wanted to get to a bit of the victory speech that Spanberg made last night. Now, again, this is someone who wouldn't even get on the phone, it looks like, with her Republican candidate, the opposition party, when they did give her a ring yesterday. Instead, she was there, though, to give a victory speech, and we'll let you listen to a little bit of it in clip six. Take a listen.
Employees, government contractors, small business owners who are impacted by the chaos
coming out of Washington. Virginia's economy doesn't work when Washington treats our Virginia workers as expendable. To those who have been impacted by the mass layoffs, by furloughs, by the hardships that you are experiencing, please know that I will direct the full power of the governor's office to support you. And to those across the Potomac who are attacking our jobs and our economy, I will not stand by silently while you attack Virginia's workers. I will fight every single day for every single Virginia jobs, the ones we have now and the ones we will bring to our Commonwealth into the future. I will stand up to anyone who tries to harm our economy or the livelihoods of our Virginians. As governor, my job will be to put Virginia first, full stop. And tonight, as the governor-elect, I call on Congress, Republicans and Democrats, and our president to make real progress on bringing this shutdown to an end.
Yeah, I want to jump in there because obviously what she's alluding to is what Democrats had game planned from day one. They shut the government down to motivate their voting base to go out there and vote. And that's why you see her now saying, oh, we have to bring back the government, reinstate our government, fund our government. There's a reason for that. Chuck Schumer was doing this behind the scenes. We know that he was. We know that he was telling his fellow Democrats not to jump on board with passing the CR because, well, as you saw there, they were able to use it to vilify those on the right. And it successfully worked. We had record turnout in certain areas all across the country, obviously, because not getting paid will fire you up. And they were able to mislead the American people because a lot of people in this country really aren't that intelligent, don't understand how government works. They don't understand how in the Senate you need the 60 votes. And obviously with the Republicans, you need to get Democrats on board. And so again, they're just not very intelligent, but they're able to tell their narrative and spin their lies because, well, the public school system, which they run, was intentionally failing these individuals. And well, welcome to the new era, where the vast majority of American voters are truly ignorant on a lot of issues. Again, I know a lot of us who are watching this show aren't that way, but of course, when you sit there and you ask liberals questions about their policy that they claim to support, they don't have a factual argument behind it. And that is the reason why they are just so poorly educated on these issues, because, well, they don't put much thought into it. It's pure feelings. And Democrats know that's the reason why they withheld federal employees from getting paid. They shut down the government because they knew but that would trigger their emotions. And long behold, see what you just had, record numbers. Again, and a lot of people are saying, oh, Brianna, these are blue states. Well, New York City saw record turnout. I believe it was over 2 million people came out to vote in that election alone. Numbers they have not yet seen before. In Virginia, also in certain counties, there were record numbers as well. Again, a lot of federal employees. Interesting enough, folks, as we sit here and try to fight to uphold our elections and the integrity of our elections, places like Maine don't really care about their elections if this election was authentic. The proposal in Maine, which was to reject those who wanted to implement a photo ID requirement for voters, was rejected yesterday. Was rejected. Good news, though, if you live in the state of Texas, or Texans, I should say, approved a proposal to amend the state's constitution to add persons who are not U.S. citizens can't vote, pretty much. I mean, that's what's going on right now. You have those up north. It's sad. I don't even know of one place up north that you could actually move to these days where it's not this way. But places in Maine don't really care. Let anyone vote. Who cares who they are? Who cares what country they come from? They want to sink our elections? Let them. Folks, we are living through a takeover. Also, it's worth noting, J.D. Vance's brother lost his election as well yesterday. He was running for Cincinnati mayor, and he was defeated. Vance did not campaign at all with his relative, of course, but did send a message of support on X way back in May. So he has lost his election. Now, again, like I mentioned, we're going to be speaking with Texas Representative Brian Harrison to reflect on yesterday's election here in the great state of Texas. It was a good day for the most part for voters. We're excited to have him on. We're also going to talk to him about his exclusive story that he broke himself about how illegal aliens are apparently getting vehicle registrations here in the state of Texas. They're not supposed to, of course. We're supposed to be a red state, but apparently illegal aliens are just running around hanging out here in Texas. I believe the latest stat that I saw from the governor's office was like 1 in 5 ICE arrests come here from here in Texas. So again, more horrific numbers from allegedly a red state. Candace House Speaker Dan Hawkins on Tuesday ended the GOP's efforts to force a special session for redrawing the congressional districts in Kansas. So now, folks, if you live in Kansas, you will not get those redistricting redrawn maps out. The plan would have bypassed the governor. But of course, Republicans are too cowardly and decided not to do it. They'll do it next year. Just hold off and wait. But if you live in states like California, you don't wait. You are trying to steal as many elections as you can to push forward your Marxist agenda. And that's what's going on in California right now. And we know just that because, well, in clip 7, you're going to hear a little bit more about that. California mail-in ballots for Gavin Newsom's Democratic 2026 gerrymandering are under criminal and legal review. That's according to the White House yesterday, who detailed specifically the theft going on in California. Take a listen.
Legal and criminal review. By whom and why? And also, in this vein, does the White House still plan to issue an executive order banning mail-in voting? And what legal authority do you have to do that?
The White House is working on an executive order to strengthen our elections in this country and to ensure that there cannot be blatant fraud, as we've seen in California with their universal mail-in voting system. It's absolutely true that there are fraud in there's fraud in California's elections. It's just a fact. It is just a fact. They have a universal mail-in voting system, which we know is ripe for fraud. And if you want to deny that, I'm happy to provide you all of the evidence for it. I'd be glad to send that to you after this briefing.
Rigged.
Fraudulent ballots that are being mailed in the names of other people, in the names of illegal aliens who shouldn't be voting in American elections. There's countless examples, and we'd be happy to provide them. As for executive action the White House is taking, yes, we are looking into that. And like any executive order, of course, any executive order the president signs is within his full executive authority and within the confines of the law.
Folks, California is just shipping out mail-in ballots, and they don't really care. Obviously, mail-in ballots are criminal. Anyone can grab onto your ballot, whether or not they've decided to fill it out or bring it in or drop it off. I mean, they will do it. We haven't learned too many lessons from 2020, sadly. You don't really hear much in the way of Republicans talking about how they want to fix our elections, besides the president of the United States, of course, because he was the victim of the theft back in 2020. But folks, time and time again, we continue to see these issues, and there's not enough people looking to actually fight back on it because they're afraid of being called a name. Now, like I outlined to you, we know that Chuck Schumer was intentionally shutting down the government so that he could create a fired up voter base for Democrats. Clip 8, you're going to hear from Senator Mullins, who's going to detail what he's heard behind the scenes in regards to that. Take a listen.
Senate Democrat that said, quote, "We feel like now after the No Kings rally, we our neck is simply in a guillotine. And now they got to wait until after the election." That last week, Liz, I know Dick Durbin wanted to break with the Democrats and reopen the government. Chuck Schumer, in a private meeting with other Democrat senators, said that if you'll just wait till after the election, I'll release the handcuffs. I added the handcuff part, but basically I'm paraphrasing what he said. The reason why is because they're afraid their base wouldn't show up today in Virginia, New Jersey, and in New York. So it's been about politics. It's never been about policy. It's been about holding the American people as leverage points, regardless of the damage they cause to the livelihood of these individuals. But elections are more important than the Dems because why? They know their polls is at the very bottom than it's ever been for the Democrat Party.
As you heard there, folks, Chuck Schumer intentionally did all of the things we saw unravel over these last few weeks because, well, he could do that. See, this is the difference between Democrats and Republicans. Both will screw over their voters. They don't care about them. But only one party does it and executes it perfectly. to benefit their politicians. That's what you just unravel here, folks. Now, obviously, the lies were so bad when it came to what Democrats are trying to push as a Trump government shutdown, being the fact that, well, Republicans in the Senate did widely support the CR, and President Trump says he's just waiting for it to get approved by the Senate to land on his desk. It was getting really bad, where even Jake Tapper again and again has had to debunk Democrats' own lie. Take a listen to clip 9 and how he again has to let Democrats know that, yeah, we know it's actually not Donald Trump holding this up. It is, in fact, you. Take a listen.
Democrats are the ones that are not voting to fund the government. Now, I understand why they're doing so. They're doing so because of health care, and they want to fight, and they want Republicans to negotiate, et cetera, et cetera. The messaging by Democrats around this shutdown has been sharper than I've seen Democrats on any issue in a long time. Mm-hmm. They have convinced voters, Democratic voters and independent voters, that it's the Republicans' fault. And just on the numbers, that might not be actually accurate.
Okay, so obviously that's a rude awakening for those on the left. They were not prepared to hear that, but the reality of it is sadly their voter base truly believed that Donald Trump is the one holding up the paychecks, holding up the SNAP benefits, when the reality of it is this was all well orchestrated to motivate those to go out and vote. They do it time and time again. Remember when Lindsey Graham jumped on board and decided to help out those on the left right before midterms, and when he pushed some bogus pro-life bill where it had absolutely zero value legally. He knew exactly that we had no one, obviously running the executive branch, that was going to pass, Mr. Joe Biden at the time, they alleged, who's going to pass any type of absolute restriction on abortion. They knew just that, but Lindsey Graham went out there every day and kept pushing for it and was used as fuel to send their voting base out there to vote. So it's not just Democrats doing it, it's also Republicans, so-called Republicans like Lindsey Graham, who continue to lie to voters and pretend like he is on board with the MAGA agenda, but he himself did his very best to help out Democrats. Again, there was no way for him to push through any type of abortion ban, but he did so because, well, he knew it was going to help out those on the left. All right, speaking of that, Lindsey Graham, obviously one of the many people who were still upset because, Jack Smith may have been targeting them. I say get over at this point, because the reality of it is they were targeting so many, you didn't speak out on anyone's behalf. So now that we're learning more about Arctic Frost and how these lawmakers were also targets in this persecution, they want results. They want answers. Must be nice. You average folk out there were unable to get answers when you were looking for those, when you saw that the government was surveilling you because you attended a legal rally on January 6th. Lindsey Graham didn't come to defend you. Neither did Ted Cruz. Neither did Senator Blackburn either. And the list goes on. But now they're wrapped up in this, and now they have motivation to go out there and get answers. It was recently revealed yesterday from AG Pam Bondi's office that they found that the special counsel, which is Jack Smith, seized President Donald Trump's government-issued phone. This means that the Biden regime turned over President Trump's phone to the special counsel, which apparently is unprecedented. In addition to that, the special counsel subpoenaed all of President Trump's personal phone records. Now, I'm not surprised. I know you're not surprised either. The main target was always Donald Trump. They were trying to build a massive case against him and get people to turn against him. But obviously it failed, and thank God it failed. But again, it just goes to show what we've been talking about for quite some time now, the levels of corruption that they were all involved in. The House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan also came out yesterday and announced that he was sending letters to Verizon and AT&T demanding to know their role regarding the data that they turned over. AT&T didn't turn it over, though, and how they may have potentially helped the investigation led by Jack Smith. The demand targets communications involving those with the former special counsel Jack Smith and his team. Jordan cited DOJ documents showing Smith obtained multiple Republican members their phone records and sought a gag order as well. He also accused the Biden-Harris regime, their DOJ, of abusing its power to spy on members of Congress. Last month, the Arctic Frost, obviously, probe was uncovered by the great Senator Chuck Grassley's office. We are learning more and more on this front. Now, again, I have very little empathy for these people because they didn't give a damn when the American people were targeted. But now, since they are the targets, they are all on board. I actually remember this quite well. When I was the one, along with Wendy Mahoney, we broke the story about Tulsi Gabbard being added to the TSA terror watch list. Members of Congress were quick to respond to me because it involved Tulsi Gabbard. But when we heard from hundreds, we heard hundreds of stories of those who were being surveilled at airports through this TSA terror watch list, those who went to a illegal rally on J6, they were added to this list. When we tried reaching out to them to help us out, nothing happened. In fact, I had to sue TSA in order to get some answers about all of this, and they still will not disclose that information. Of course, they're trying their very best to stop me from finding out more information, saying that it's a national security issue if I obtain any details regarding how these innocent Americans ended up on that terror watch list. The only way the government intervened was when Tulsi Gabbard was added to that list. And again, I broke that story to you. These people don't care unless it involves them. Now all of a sudden they want movement. Isn't it funny? We elected these people to represent us, but they don't want to actually represent us. Instead, they want to represent their own personal interests. One of the very few people that I actually do like in D.C., Brandon Gill, actually did something really cool yesterday. He introduced articles of impeachment against James Boasberg, citing his involvement in the Arctic Frost matter. Now, as many of you guys know, Boasberg has been one of the most repulsive individuals in all of this, allowing Jack Smith's team to just get whatever they wanted, even if it wasn't legal. Boasberg didn't put much up in a fight, and he was very much on the side of the regime, siding with them in several different cases. So now Congressman Gill is pushing forward and trying to have him impeached. That would be absolutely incredible if that happened. Of course, we would all cheerlead for that. That would be a good move. But will lawmakers actually push this forward and allow this to carry through? We will see. But again, it took members of Congress being the victims of the lawfare to actually demand this. Now, Brandon Gill is one of the very good people we do have in D.C. And he comes from you, courtesy of the great state of Texas, of course. But so many are cowards in all of this. It really is infuriating. And again, we keep talking about this, but I want to highlight some key points that Byron Donalds, a congressman from the state of Florida, made yesterday. In clip 10, you're going to hear him outline why it's important for us to impeach this corrupt judge. Take a listen.
Judge Boasberg, who was entrusted to sit on the bench, to be impartial, and to be non-political, and to basically review cases in front of him and determine the constitutionality and the legality of the claims in front of him, he has taken it on his own to be a hyper-partisan judge going after Republicans, signing off on subpoenas that are unlawful, and he signed off on them just to get his political rivals. This is why he needs to be impeached. I commend Congressman Brandon Gill of Texas for leading this effort in the House to call for articles of impeachment of Judge Boasberg. And it'd be interesting to see what Minority Leader Schumer has to say about all this. Because if it's okay for a federal judge to sign off on subpoenas and warrants against Republicans in the United States Senate simply because they're going through not just fishing, like Senator Johnson said, this is not a fishing expedition. This was entrapment. This was trying to bury and to suppress your political rivals, all to maintain power in Washington, D.C.
You see the difference, though? Those on the left understand what's going on here. They don't care. They will continue to push back. And they don't care if it's legal or not legal. They will sacrifice Jack Smith, even though the deep state operatives who are also working behind the scenes on all of this will likely not get persecuted on any of this, prosecuted I'm referring to, after they led a persecution against President Trump and tried their very best to stop this election from happening. They didn't want President Trump back in the White House. Why? Well, because of everything you're seeing unravel. Again, I don't even understand how we've reached this point where we continue to sit here and demand justice, but it's like an echo in a very empty room. We're not seeing much in the way of movement on this front, although the AG continues to put out these messages telling us what's exactly happening, what they're learning. There's nothing there. It's just meant to make us outraged. And then they say, all right, we told you. It's infuriating. But they did throw a bone at us, and it was James Comey, the indictment on James Comey. And again, I don't think this is much in the way of what we actually need to take place. This is the bare minimum. We're really scrapping at the end of the barrow here with all of this. It doesn't seem to make sense, but the former FBI director is again trying his best to fight off these two criminal charges that he just recently was slapped with. Again, the two-count indictment issued on September accuses him of lying to the Senate Judiciary Committee as well as obstruction of justice. Again, Comey has pleaded not guilty on this issue. But he's asking a judge to dismiss all of this, saying that, of course, this is a persecution. He knows what those look like, of course. And also saying that the interim AG, U.S. AG over there, Lindsey Halgan, is not a valid U.S. attorney. And so she doesn't have any grounds to file these charges, of course. That's what he's claiming. Now, again, it was revealed yesterday that a lot of the evidence that's been used against Comey actually came from 5 burn bags over at the FBI. That's what they're claiming. They're saying that a lot of the key elements that they've pulled together for this case came from those burn bags. Now, it's just like the government, right? They are supposed to do something and they don't do it because they're a bunch of failures. But apparently they're alleging that these documents that are now entering into criminal court were found in 5 burn bags, according to their filings that were made earlier this week. Now, it's interesting because this burn bag story, there's a lot more to it that I have a good feeling the FBI is not telling us about. In fact, it's probably a whistleblower and told them about this. Wonder what happened to that person. You see, the FBI is extremely dangerous still to this day, and sadly, there's no one willing to step up to the plate and to push back. Instead, and we're going to talk to Steve Baker about it, but instead, we're getting these broken promises by the FBI saying that it's being reformed. And although we do hear rumbles of personnel changes, I have a bad feeling about all of this. And sadly, if you're someone on the MAGA side and you dare push back against the FBI these days, those at the very top are coming after you. They don't like criticism, even though that they were the ones on the other side of this just a year ago criticizing those who were in the FBI. Now, all of a sudden, they expect us all to shut up about it. Well, we aren't shutting up anytime soon. I've got also a story about a couple of people who were fired at the FBI, then brought back in and then fired again, because why not fire them twice? It was fun to do that. Steve Baker will be back reacting to that story in just a moment. Again, folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have the 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sale going on right now. It's 25% off site-wide, and we just got those Alex Jones signature blades in. So head on over to the shop and grab yourself some of these. It's for a limited time, of course, and it's great for Christmas. So head on over there and do that right now.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, and it's available right now exclusively, limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this.
And so we put this together as both a methylene blue super enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed. Migraine prevention, cardiovascular help, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps. People with depression, according to these studies that I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with, because this is what we take. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
In times uncertain of what the future holds, when cameras see everything and silence speaks louder than words, you'll need more than just awareness. You'll need focus. You'll need power. Fuel your mind. Energize your body. Stay sharp in the age of control with Methylene Blue from thealexjonesstore.com. Because no matter how advanced the system becomes, your energy is your freedom.
I'm